Hi, this is
Blog
Linda.
Talk Radio.
And you are on Soul in the City. Welcome, everyone, to our show. I have an exciting guest today, Mr. Frank Turner, who is an author, speaker, aftercare coordinator for the Men of Valor Ministry, and an entrepreneur. We'll be continuing our series on the state of Black love. I'm just going to go over some brief statistics before I talk to our guest. 2009 Bureau of Statistics states that there are, for every 100 black women, there are 79 black men. According to the U.S. Census Bureau of Statistics, it is shown that African Americans have the lowest rate of marriage. And one of the things of the studies that I read was that one of the factors that is seldom discussed in the issue of black relationships and the unequal availability of partners is that economics plays an issue in that. So right now I'd like to welcome our guest, Mr. Turner. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Linda. How are you doing?
I am just great and greatly blessed. So let's just go ahead and start with the topic. What is love to you?
Love to me, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me as a guest on your show. It truly is a privilege. Answering to your first question, I think that love is truth. So we have to ask ourselves, what is truth? And I'm a firm believer that the only truth that exists is the truth of Almighty God, who himself is love. He states that. So that's what I believe love is God himself.
Okay, that's a good answer. And going on to the next question, which basically leads off of that, is how does having a loving relationship with God relate to having a loving relationship with yourself and others?
Boy, that is a very, very profound and important question that carries a lot of weight with it. As I just stated, God himself is love. That's not a character trait or personality that he has. That's who he is. And the scripture states clearly that, the human race is created in his image. So if he is love, we were created to be love. And the problem exists when a person is not in an intimate relationship with God. They have the desire to love, but we are inexperienced in how to implement that love. So therefore, we have a confusion in our heart that's considered a spiritual war. And that spiritual war is lived out. A person lives according to their belief system, as I think me and you have discussed a few times personally in the past. You know, and so if our belief system is skewed, we're going to implement skewed fruit, if I can word it that way. So that's how it plays out in the reality of human lives. If we're not in an active relationship with God, basically we don't know how to love.
Okay, that is a really profound answer. And then I just kind of wanted to bring that up that you are an author, so you've kind of talked about some, in an indirect way, relationships in your book and how the curses that apply spiritually can sometimes apply to our relationships, especially in man, women, or just relationships, period. Do you want to kind of comment on that a little bit further?
Well, yes, I will. First, I want to say the title of my latest book is Breaking the Curse from a Twisted Life, and I focus on bad habits, addictions, and the generational curse. And it can be purchased at my website, which is www.raptureyourdestiny.com. First of all, Linda, I would like to say that when we, in this day and time, 2011, hear the word curse, it actually sounds fiction or just like it's a reality that's not attainable or experienced, you know. But according to the scriptures, which are timelessness, when we are not loving God, which is a violation of the first commandment, it tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength, then we are out of sync so to speak, with the sanctions that God has established for the human race to live by. In other words, we don't implement love if we're not in a love relationship with Him. And as a result, we experience the consequences. What are those consequences? Deuteronomy chapter 28 gives a list of them, but they're summed up into one word, what the Bible calls curses. And what that looks like in reality is, for an example, we will always have a desire to do something, to have something, or to attain something, but we're always scuffling trying to get it. It seems like it's right in the grasp of our hands, but before we can grip it, it slips away. And that includes a lot of dysfunction in relationships as well as families. You know, that doesn't mean that when we do have an intimate relationship with God, everything is perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But without that relationship, we don't have the tools to counteract the adversity that's in the world right now. So basically that's what experiencing the curse looks like in everyday reality.
So in saying that, would you then say that maybe some of the things that's happening to the relationship between black men and black women has to do with some of those curses you're talking about, or the generational curses, or just what would you contribute to that lack of connection between black men and black women?
Well, first of all, I want to say that love does not have a color, or neither does any of the issues that we're discussing at hand. It can affect any nationality, any ethnicity, or nationality. But since we're on the topic of black love, if we look at the statistics, then the statistics tells us that there is a problem. And I have learned that everything that is lived out and happens in the natural world, which is this world we can live in and comprehend with our five senses, it originates in the spirit realm. So that says to me that when we look at the statistics of the African Americans and what they're dealing with, it is a possibility that a big percentage of this cause is from violating God's design of how He established for the human race to live. And I hate to say it, but that's just another truth. And I've learned that truth is the only thing that really stands in an argument.
Well, one of the things is, you know, in all the statistics and all the conversations about, I have to go on what it is, the state of emergency for black love, is that people that often misrepresented are the single mature adults and Christian single mature adults. What are your thoughts on that?
Could you repeat that question one more time, please?
Okay. Well, Christian mature adults are often misrepresented in these statistics. So how do you feel that black love is affected when you're Christian, mature, single?
Well, it can be affected. That's kind of a paradox. It can be affected at two ends of the continent. One is, if a person is truly born again and a mature believer, then they are experienced in unconditional love, which is what agape is, meaning that a lot of things that person may experience or have to implement is not based solely on affections. They understand commitment, and they are willing to do whatever it takes to implement that conviction. I have a way of paraphrasing that. They are the type of people that are on your side, whether you're right or wrong, as long as you express to them the truth about the situation, even if you are wrong. And that encourages them to stick by you and help you. The other end of that continuum is that type of love can often be misunderstood. It can be misunderstood as far as being codependent. It can be misunderstood as far as a person thinking that you, if I can use the street term, weak. They can get anything from you, or they will always go to you because they feel they can manipulate you. And so those are just a couple of explanations on the other end of the continent of how true agape love, unconditional love, can be misunderstood by Christians, mature Christians that implement it. The other thing is that, going back to what I stated earlier, if a person is not in relation, in an active relationship with Almighty God, then contrary to what they might think, they don't know how to implement love. And because we do have love in our heart, we're created in God's image. We have the desire to be loved and to love in our heart. But the frustration comes when we don't know how to express it and totally implement it 100% as it should be, you know. And so that gives room to the counterfeit of love. Everything God has, the enemy has, the counterfeit. It kind of reminds me of some natural laws. The opposite of up is down. The opposite of in is out, you know, and it could go on and on and on, meaning that for everything God has, the enemy has a counterfeit. For example, infatuation can be easily misunderstood as love, but somewhere in the season of that relationship where it's time to implement commitment, where infatuation may have been, it may be have been worn off by then, and so there's no desire for the commitment. And the person will end a relationship, and they will most likely start another one looking for that false thing that don't even exist.
Okay, that's a really great answer, and that opens up a lot of other questions, but since we only have a few more minutes before the show ends, I'd like to end it with this question. So what do you feel is the difficulty for men in making commitment relationships, kind of keeping it within our two-minute time frame?
You say the question is, why is it so difficult for men to make a commitment?
Or do you feel it's difficult for men to make committed, to have a committed relationship?
No, not just men. I think it's difficult for anybody because it's a task. When I say difficult, it doesn't mean it's necessarily unattainable. We know that for all the people in the world that are in love. But what I mean by it's difficult is because, like I said earlier, without an active relationship with God, we don't know how to implement it. And when we are in an active relationship with God, then the enemy will attack it. And so it's an ongoing struggle of seasons of peace as well as seasons of opposition and adversity. And so it takes a balance, really, for anybody to really maintain it and to experience all that love has. So it's not just the male. It could be anybody that's really not in relationship with God, that's really doesn't persevere and really doesn't have an open mind and have made the choice. Basically, that's what it is, a choice. There's no option to quit. You know, I'm in this thing to win it. And I'm committed at all costs. I think that's what the last part of the marriage vow is, till death does us part.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We really enjoyed your comments, and we hope to have you again as a guest on Soul in the City. And I'd like to thank our audience for listening in, and we hope that you enjoy this episode when you pick it up on the archives. Again, this is Soul in the City, and we would just like to say thank you for listening in. Be blessed. Thank you.